This is On Location. I'm Tim Leitner. Today's program comes to you from Michigan, Iowa, California, and Alaska. But first, On Location is produced by the NCA Communications Committee with special production assistance from Joe Manlin and me. You can find our podcast on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcast, Breaker, iHeartRadio, and Radio Public, among others. So subscribe today on your favorite podcast service and tell all your friends. Today, Tim Leitner, co-chair of this year's NCA Communications Committee and coming to you from Anchorage, Alaska, and Deanna Rice, administrative assistant to Director David Kilgore of the California Department of Child Support Services, team up to co-host today's podcast. They welcome two new guests, Kelly Mika, director with Alvarez and Marcel, and Paul Game of the Michigan State Courts. Join them as they talk about NCA Policy and Government Relations Subcommittee, emerging issues and leading practices, and learn about the benefits that the NCA membership has from this committee. Get to know Kelly and Paul as they talk about their involvement with the Child Support Program, how they got started, where their journey has taken them, and their own contributions to NCA. It's going to be a great show, so stick around, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to NCA On Location, where today's podcast comes to you from across the country, from Michigan, Iowa, California, and Alaska. I'm Tim Leitner in Anchorage, Alaska, and co-chair of the NCA Communications Committee. Joining me today is my co-host and colleague, Deanna Rice, from the California Department of Child Support Services. Today we are gathered to talk about the NCA Policy and Government Relations Subcommittee, emerging issues and leading practices, and learn about the benefits that the NCA membership has from this committee. Deanna, would you kick us off by introducing yourself?
Hello, everyone. I'm Deanna Rice, Administrative Assistant to Director David Kilgore here in California, and I'm happy to be here again with you, Tim. Today, we have two new guests on the program, Kelly Mika, Director with Alvarez and Marsal, and Paul Game of the Michigan State Courts. Welcome to NCA's On Location and to our virtual studio. We're happy to have you join us today. Can you each tell us a little bit about yourselves, where you're from, who you work for, and your roles in your full-time work when you're not volunteering for NCA?
Sure. Hi, Paul and Deanna. Thank you so much for having us today. I'm so excited to share with you the work of the Emerging Issues and Leading Practices Subcommittee. I'm Kelly Mika, and I live in Iowa, just outside Des Moines. I'm a director in the public sector practice of Alvarez and Marsal, which is a consulting firm with an HHS practice. When I am not volunteering for NCA, I work with states on improving whole service delivery to the family beyond child support to ensure all state agencies are working together to deliver the best possible outcomes with the family as the focus.
Hi, everyone. And I'm Paul Game. I am from the Michigan State Court Administrative Office, the Friend of the Court Bureau. I'm a management analyst there, and we work with the courts throughout the state of Michigan that help with the child support work. So I have been there for about 10 years now, a little over that, and I primarily am working on issues around the child support guidelines, some data analysis, and then enforcement of child support, which, like many in the program, are looking at what that looks like from an engagement standpoint, in addition to the pure kind of enforcing or collecting of support.
Now that we know where you're currently at, let's go back a bit and ask how you got here. How did you get involved with the child support program? What roles have you had over the years, including where, and what made you stay in child support?
Yeah, I'll jump in. So it's, you know, it's one of those interesting kind of stories when you look back, and I don't know that many of us choose to end up in child support as kind of our first career, but many might. And for me, it was one of those. I went to law school and I wanted to work with families. From there, my initial goal was to work within child welfare, but after some work within the executive branch, Department of Human Services at the time, I was working in the legislative liaison's office, and there was a large child support package that the program was working on at the time, and I got to kind of help with that. And that was my first exposure, and after talking with colleagues who I work with at the front of the court bureau, it really kind of opened my eyes to the idea that there's a lot of policy and a lot of just proactive things that we can do to engage with families and to serve families. And that just kind of driving principle and policy focus is what really caught my attention. And so I did about 2 years in the legislative liaison office. And then, like I said, I've been here about 10 years and have just loved it. It's a rewarding experience. And I think just offers a lot of opportunity to proactively look at what we do.
And I don't know that my origin story is quite as deliberative as Paul's. So I started in child support since I graduated from law school in 1994, starting as an attorney in a full service child support office in Tennessee. Over the years, I moved into consulting in numerous roles, including managing and implementing federal grants for states and doing a lot of systems design. Throughout it all, I did have a passion for training caseworkers and lawyers on UFSA. I've held all-day trainings in numerous states, as well as presented at numerous state, regional, national conferences on the topics of UFSA and legal ethics. I've also worked in Medicaid, helping states to implement the Affordable Care Act and several other Medicaid initiatives for the state of Iowa, and conducted business process analysis for states and their benefits programs, including SNAP, TANF, and others. But it always brings me back to child support. This is always where my heart has been. And I'm always looking for ways to bring all the program knowledge together. And that's why I'm here.
Awesome. We're really glad you're here today. So Kelly and Paul, can you talk to us and our listeners about NCIA's Emerging Issues and Leading Practices Subcommittee? Can you tell us about what the Policy and Government Relations Committee is, what it does, and how the Emerging Issues and Leading Practices Subcommittee fits in as an extension of the Government Relations Committee?
Sure, I'll take that one. So PGR, the Policy and Government Relations Committee, is our umbrella committee, if you will. Emerging Issues, Leading Practices is a subcommittee. So PGR is responsible for developing policy statements, educational materials. A lot of the NCIA resolutions bubble up to the board from PGR. So those materials regarding legislation, regulation, policy that we would want to provide for education for not only our membership, but also federal legislators and for use by state folks to use when educating their state legislatures as well. So Emerging Issues fits into that by identifying hot topics going on in the child support community, making referrals to other PGR subcommittees or other NCIA committees to develop materials. For example, we might identify a new topic, say such as intercepting online gambling winnings, and make a referral to, for example, the research committee to delve more into that topic. Or we might make a referral to the Legislative Education Committee to put out a fact sheet. We also make referrals to conference planning committees to include these topics as potential workshops or plenaries. For certain topics, we may do a sampling of leading state practices on a particular topic and then develop our own materials based on something unique that the states are doing. This might be a new topic or might be a new way of dealing with an existing or older issue that may have been around for a while. So just kind of trying to keep our fingers on the pulse of what's happening out there in child support and making sure that everyone's aware of what other states are doing.
You know, I might guess that this could take a large group to move this along. It sounds like a lot of stuff you guys do. How many people do you have working on your subcommittee, and how do you kind of arrange all this and get this moving?
Yeah, it's a good point. We have currently just under 30 members who are on the Emerging Issues and Leading Practice Subcommittee. And it's one of those things that I think we've really tried to hone in over the years. We've had fewer than that in the past. We've had, you know, I think this is kind of an extension or expansion over the past couple of years. And the reason Kelly and I and PGR leadership talked going into the year, and we wanted a larger group because we wanted to ensure that we had a diverse group and a diverse perspective of thought and of jurisdictions covered. So we've got kind of East Coast, you know, Midwest, Southern, West Coast. We've got a lot of states and a lot of perspectives represented by that group. The other thing we wanted to be sure that we did is, you know, you just heard Kelly talk about all the different things that we focus on and can deliver, or what we offer as deliverables. And so we really wanted to make sure that we were moving towards this product-driven or deliverable subcommittee. There's a lot of wonderful conversation that can happen, but we wanted to make sure that we were actually providing things of benefit to NCA's membership. And so, you know, it's one of those subcommittees that I'd call a working committee. And so we want to make sure that we have enough people to spread the work around, because, you know, this is a volunteer membership, and we want to make sure that we're not taking advantage of everybody's time, but yet leveraging and being able to use the strengths and perspectives that the members offer.
So thinking about these deliverables that you're involved with and in bringing to different areas of the NCA membership and committees, how does your committee identify emerging issues or leading practices? How do they get called out? How do they get seen? How do they get identified?
Yeah, so from anywhere and everywhere, I would say, we're always open to hearing what states are doing. And like I said before, it doesn't necessarily have to be something new. It might be a new way of approaching an existing topic. But as far as where they're coming from, you know, our committee members. So that large group, I think we have about 23 committee members. And so they tell us what's going on in their states that we might want to explore or refer to another committee to explore. Also, because we have this cross collaboration with other PGR subcommittees, and we hear what they're working on, and we discuss whether or not we want to bring that forward as an emerging issue. And, you know, just the membership can contact us or make suggestions. So the way these get fleshed out is, though, at the beginning of the board year, we bring forward a list of topics and invite everyone to contribute their own. And then we vote on the top three or four that we want to tackle first, and then people select which ones that they would prefer to work on. And then we have breakout rooms, or they meet on their own to discuss whether the topic is something that should be a referral to another committee, or do we want to put out a resource document like the deliverables that Paul was talking about that contains information regarding what other states are doing on a particular topic.
And the other thing I would just add to that is, you know, as a subcommittee for PGR, there are times where we may get something mid-year passed down to us that kind of takes priority and we'll rally the troops on. So that can happen, and I think has happened in the past. But like Kelly said, we really are looking proactively at the start of the year and then looking for topics to continue to add and kind of grow the library, if you will, throughout the year. So any thoughts and any new topics that they see, we certainly welcome at any point in time.
The collaboration with other NCA committees is amazing, as we do that here with our communications committee. Can you give us a couple of examples of some topics that have been referred to you?
Sure. So a couple that come to mind is full pass-through and disregard thresholds, as states are exploring different ways of implementing pass-through, to what extent. So that's been a recent one that came to us. And then for anyone that was at the policy forum, one of the, I don't think it's overstating to say it's the most popular session, was on AI and how that might affect the child support program. So that one has also been referred to us as something that we've put on the parking lot to pick up once our current topics are completed.
I would imagine that there might be a long list of parking lot items. Can you give us an example of what membership has indicated that they would like to see, and talk a little bit more about the top five or so that you currently have been charged with to address?
Sure. We do have a long list on the parking lot. I'm just looking at the list now. We've got like at least 18 topics out there. Some of them are like the two I just mentioned as far as pass-through and AI. We also have fatherhood programs if we want to explore more into what that might look like. License revocation, there's some nuances there, how states have implemented that. I would also talk about mandating support from defendants who had parents that owed child support were killed in the commission of, say, a DUI or something like that, that some states are looking at holding those folks liable for child support. And that's just a smattering of what's on the parking lot. There's a lot more. What we're currently looking at is, could say the top five is domestic violence and good cause exceptions. So this is not necessarily a new topic to child support. And it was actually a holdover from last year was when we first picked it up. And we're continuing to delve into anything unique that states are implementing around this topic, whether it's additional systems flags, communications with parties, other mechanisms that they put in place to ensure the safety of survivors. And this one, I just wanted to note that we're not competing with any of the SAVES grants from OCSS. We're just exploring unique ways that states are responding to this important issue. The other one that we are currently working on, and I think I'm going to turn over to Paul, is this default 50-50 parenting time orders. Paul, can you talk about that topic?
Yeah, so this is one that was an example that was kind of passed down to us from PGR. One of the things that we were seeing at the state levels were a lot of legislation being introduced that included a presumption of joint custody. And so as child support programs were often asked to weigh in on those legislative drafts, there became a desire to say, is there a way to kind of pull together the research to see where this has been done or where legislation has been introduced and really create a resource directory, if you will, for members so that if or when their state saw legislation that was similar to this, there would be kind of some background information quickly available and potentially some contact information as well. And so that's really what we're doing with that effort. We're trying to just kind of take a look at the history of kind of where this has been done, lessons learned perhaps if it's been implemented, and again, create kind of a resource for members should they see this come to their state. You know, and that's going to include a list of pros and cons to any legislative draft. Another topic on our list currently is looking at 4E or foster care referrals to the Child Support 4D program. I think this is in response to some, I think, joint guidance from, was it ACF, about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, that was sent out to the states on how 4E and 4D programs could work together on those cases. And so the goal with that group is really to look at how states have looked at that letter from the feds and what states are doing in response to that. And again, it's this idea of creating a resource guide for members so that they can see and think about the considerations that states have looked at as they've gone to implement any changes or, you know, any system work related to that issue. And then another effort that we're currently working on is looking at SNAP or food assistance and child care cooperation requirements and sanctions. I think we're expanding that to also potentially look at TANF interaction as well. And really just trying to get a sense, again, what are states doing? You know, there's a lot of history here in, I think, dating back to PRORA and some options that states had at that time and continue to have. And so trying to, again, not necessarily focus on it's not an emerging issue, but really focusing on what states have done around that and how they've found flexibility. And again, the pros and cons that they've experienced as they've done that. And Kelly, I'll kick it back to you for the last group we've got going right now.
Sure. And I would just add to those cooperation requirements, we're also looking at the SNAP and childcare, which is, I think, a relatively new program requirement for those benefits that there are several states now that have implemented child support cooperation requirements as a condition of eligibility. So we wanted to check in on those states for how is this going? What are the considerations? We want the feedback from the child support agencies that have implemented these and how that's going from their perspective.
Those all seem to be really important topics. Do you think these will all be completed within this NCIA program year?
So I'll jump in. That would be the goal. It would be wonderful if we can do that. There are a lot of topics, and I think Kelly mentioned earlier, some of these topics are carryover from last NCIA year. And so we do have the flexibility to adapt as we need. And as the kind of the subgroups dive into the work, we want to make sure that what the deliverable is useful and relevant to members. And so again, we have some flexibility on that, but our goal is for a lot of these topics to have them wrapped up by the end of this NCIA year. But I think there's always room for flexibility.
Yeah, I would just add, and I think Paul made this point earlier, that we're balancing people's day jobs against their volunteer jobs, recognizing that this is not their paid job. And so we don't want to push them too hard to where nobody wants to participate in the committee anymore. So we definitely take all of that into consideration and making sure that we've got a quality product.
And just to touch on the quality product, Paul, let me just ask you, what are some of the committee's deliverables and how has this been a historical shift for this committee?
Yeah, I think, again, to me, from a research and policy mind, I find it interesting. But Kelly kind of talked about the deliverables earlier and how we are really over the last 2 years, we've moved in the direction of kind of better tracking and making sure that there are products at the end of the day. Because again, what we do, we want it to be of use for NCIA's members. And I think historically, not that we weren't focused on that, but I think from the time that I've been on emerging issues, which is probably 4 or 5 years at least now, we started out, at least in my time, much more focused on kind of a think tank, I think. And I think this year's NCIA President Erin Frisch, who's also from Michigan, she kind of talked to our group at the start of the year and kind of acknowledged that emerging issues and leading practices is kind of a think tank of identifying those issues, whether new or old, like Kelly said, but finding ways that we can connect those ideas to the work that we do. But like I said, we've really now shifted to this approach where we still do that and we still engage in those really meaningful conversations, and we have the freedom to think big picture that, a traditional think tank type idea lets you do. But at the end of the day, we are still driving toward what a product can look like from that conversation. And like Kelly said, that what that is can be very different given the conversation and the topic that's presented. And so Kelly talked about, right, referrals to conferences, whether that's leadership or policy conference. It can be articles through CSQ or other communications, or it could just be like we're doing with some of this work, and I kind of touched on earlier, a resource guide for members to identify what states have done and the considerations or lessons that they've learned along the way. And so it's been a really good movement, I think, to still allow that freedom and flexibility in the broad conversational sense, but to also focus us on ensuring that we deliver something of use for NCIA's members.
Absolutely. And let me just offer up too, for NCIA on location to be available to you for any topic that you want to take and discuss when that time is right. So Paul, where can we find more information on the committee's deliverables? Is there a place that kind of warehouses or kind of keeps a record of these?
Yeah, Tim, it's a good question about where we store all of this. And Kelly mentioned our matrix that we use for internal tracking. But when it comes to the deliverable side, right, again, some of these are going to show up as a CSQ article or as a session at one of the conferences. But when we have other kind of written resource guides available, we have an emerging issues members page on NCIA's website. And that's really where we're trying to, what we're trying to build out and add topics to that list. I think the one that jumps to mind from last year, Kelly, help me here, but it was with independent contracting and what states have done from a mandatory reporting perspective. And so there's a paper out there now on the Emerging Issues members page that provides information about, again, the independent contracting. But we're looking to add the topics that we've discussed earlier to that page.
Yeah, just to be clear, it's when you log in and it's not specific to Emerging Issues, you don't have to be a member of Emerging Issues to access it. But when you log in, there's a member resources link. And if you just click on that and scroll down, you can see there's like four or five documents there right now that we've produced over the last year and a half.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying that, Kelly.
Mm-hmm. And Kelly, how could you explain what is of benefit to our NCIA members?
Well, I think being part of NCIA, just from an individual child support worker perspective, regardless of your role in the program, it's a tangible way to connect with other child support offices across the country to let you know you're not alone. It's so exciting to see when one member brings up a topic and someone else on the call just lights up and I get a me too. So that's always rewarding. Like, see, we're making those connections. Hearing how other states and jurisdictions have addressed the same issues in a collaborative and meaningful way to improve local program outcomes is great to see. We're better together. And by sharing our common issues, struggles, and even victories, we're supported, re-energized. You bring that same enthusiasm locally to ultimately, at the end of the day, benefits the families that we're serving.
Kelly, we couldn't agree more. Given your large list of topics you all are working on, are you still open to suggestions from our membership?
Oh, absolutely. I would look to the communications committee to see if they have ideas on how to transmit those ideas. Otherwise, you can always email me through Higher Logic, and I'll be happy to add it to the matrix. Just a word of caution, not everything submitted gets taken up. Sometimes it's a topic that's we know is percolating out there, but it's not quite fully baked yet. So that goes on our kind of monitoring tab of the matrix. So we see how those things shake out, or we need something to develop more. Sometimes it's something we've already addressed and we should just pass along to another committee. Happy to do that on your behalf as well. But absolutely let us know what your issues are, what topics you would like to see NCIA explore. Send them on.
So besides making suggestions, if any NCIA members want to serve on this committee, when and how can they go about becoming involved?
Yeah, we're always looking for members to volunteer. I think traditionally the way it's worked, towards the end of the NCIA year, I believe an email goes out to members asking for members to consider volunteering for the next NCIA year. I want to say that that email typically has come out sometime in June, maybe July, because the NCIA year typically coincides with Leadership Symposium, which is in August traditionally. So keep an eye out for that email for a call for volunteers, and then, you know, indicate that you would want to be part of Emerging Issues and Leading Practices. And we take a look at that registration list, and we really work to make sure that we've got a broad representation for Emerging Issues so that the work that we do can incorporate as many perspectives as possible.
So as we wrap up our time together today, are there any last words that each of you would like to leave us with?
Just thank you for the chance to spread the word on this great topic, this community. Please share anything that's on your mind that you're seeing in your community that you think could apply to a broader audience or that you would want NCIA to explore further.
Yeah, and I would echo what Kelly said. Thank you for the time and the opportunity here. And, you know, I think just kind of to plug Emerging Issues, you know, it's really that opportunity to think proactively about how we engage as a program and with families. You know, I look back and I think a lot of our work often can seem to be reactive, But the thing that I enjoy most about this group is that proactive side, where we get to identify issues and topics and talk as a community about what that could look like or mean. And we've had topics come to us that have nothing to do with child support. It's, you know, hey, I was at this store and I noticed this is how they handled something. And I think we could implement something like that in our program. And so it can be from anywhere and it can spawn a lot of really great ideas and conversation. So it's rewarding and engaging work.
Well, we really want to thank our guests today, Kelly Micca and Paul Game, for joining us and engaging in a conversation about the NCEA Emerging Issues and Leading Practices Subcommittee, for giving us insight and information that some of our listeners might not have even known about beforehand. We really appreciate all the time that your subcommittee puts in for NCEA. Thank you also to our listeners for following and listening in today. On behalf of the NCEA Communications Committee, I am Deanna Rice.
And I'm Tim Leitner, and this has been On Location. On Location is available on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and anywhere you get your podcasts. We have a lot of great episodes on the way, so be sure to subscribe and listen to all of our previous episodes as well. We also appreciate your ratings, your feedback, your comments, and your suggestions. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, please reach out to us on the contact link on our website. On Location is a production of the NCEA Communications Committee with special production assistance from Joe Mamlin and me. Thanks again for joining me. I'm Tim Leitner, and this has been On Location.